Glory to God. Amen. Here we are in the presence of God. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 13, and I'm going to, first of all, pray that the Lord would help us with His Word. And of course, I'm mindful of the fact that these tape recordings and compact discs go around the world. And I'm so thankful those that are listening in Southeast Asia and those that are listening in the Seychelles Islands and in Europe and just all over the Canada, Australia. I just want you to know that as I stand here and preach that we have a burden for you and we're praying for you also. Amen. I'd like to pray right now and ask for the Lord's help. Father in heaven, we know these are the last days. The time is short. The days are evil. But thy grace is sufficient for us, and we know that thou wilt watch over us even until the end of the world. I thank thee, O Lord, for thy saving power, for thy preserving and protecting hand, for all that thou hast done, O Lord, for thou hast done all things well. We worship thee this day as the creator of all things. We thank thee, O Lord, knowing that thou art the redeemer and the sanctifier, that thy word is true and we firmly stand upon the sure foundation of it. I pray now that thou wouldst move upon us in our hearts and in our souls. Quicken us, O Lord. Make us alive in the Holy Ghost. O Lord, we reach out to thee with a desperate heart this day. O Lord, let thy word be accomplished in us. Let thy will be done. Give us a great understanding, a great burden to do thy will, to have thy purpose within us. And O Lord, I pray that thou wouldst rebuke every devil and unclean spirit, every force of darkness and hindering power. Let the devil be driven from here. Let him have no dominion or power over us. But grant us thy grace, O Lord, complete deliverance and strength. O Lord, for we have thy sword and thy shield. Guide and direct us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. And through the power of his saving blood. Hallelujah. We are in Isaiah chapter 13 to begin with this morning. We're going to look at a subject that I think is very timely because, as I said just a moment ago, and I believe this with all my heart, we are at the very doors of our Lord's coming. The signs of His coming are everywhere. You can't miss them. And strangely enough, and I haven't really figured out why this is, but the Word of God does refer to this, that the more obvious the signs become, the closer we get to His coming, the greater there is for a propensity of backsliding. People, for one reason or another, and churches, entire churches, are beginning to embrace more and more idolatry, more of the world, and it seems almost like a paradox. You know, it should be obvious that He's coming with everything that's happening, and it should stir us and motivate us and shake us up, and yet there's a lethargy, a strange apathy that is filling the hearts of people. And so what we're going to do today is go into the Word of God, which is a great destroyer of apathy. Amen. And we're going to see what the Lord tells us about the very end. And I'm going to call this message after the first four words that we're about to read. The burden of Babylon. The burden of Babylon. And of course, this was given to the prophet Isaiah, and I believe it was not only for ancient Babylon, but he's also talking, as you will see from the context, he's also talking about another Babylon, a mystery Babylon, a beast, a harlot, that would be very much alive and active and fill the entire world in the last days. We start out with the words, the burden of Babylon, which Isaiah, the son of Amos, did see. So he saw this. He not only heard it, he saw it. God showed it to him. You know, the Lord will show His people things. Remember when Daniel saw the same type of a vision? He saw the four beasts rising up out of the sea. And he saw what God had to show him. And then afterward, it was so horrible. It was so amazing that he was sick certain days. Sometimes when you really start thinking about these things and really look at it, it will literally move you off your foundation. And we need to hold on to the Word of God because When you look at all that is happening and see the nearness of His coming, this is no time to backslide. This is a time to hold on to the Word of God. But let it shake you. Let it move you. Because that's the only hope that we have. We can't be complacent, folks. The burden, it was heavy. The burden of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amos did see. And here he goes into it. Lift ye up a banner upon the high mountain. Exalt the voice unto them. Shake the hand that they may go into the gates of the nobles. I have commanded my sanctified ones. I have also called my mighty ones for mine anger, even them that rejoice in my highness. Do you rejoice in the greatness of God, in the highness of the Lord? I believe we're supposed to be doing battle spiritually, aren't we? Praise God. He goes on. Oh, by the way, you know what brings down Babylon? The same thing that brought down Rome. And all other evil entities, empires, and powers. And that is the Word of God. And the Bible says the Word of God abides within us. It's a word of hope, power, victory, and it abides within us. He goes on and says, the noise of a multitude in the mountains, like as of a great people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together, the Lord of hosts mustereth the host of the battle. They come from a far country. Now watch, you're going to see two things going on here in this chapter. The Lord talks about the fall of Babylon twice, two different Babylons. It's going to tell us, and you'll see this from the context, that he's talking about a literal physical empire that existed long ago. But as you will see in just a few verses, he's talking about the end of the world and the ultimate destruction of the second Babylon, which will be brought down by his power, which does abide within us. Now, in the old days, he called an army of the Medes and the Persians, remember? And they came and diverted the Euphrates River, which flowed through the city of Babylon. This huge city with its high and thick walls, and nobody could possibly ever break through that. But they diverted the river and went through the riverbed and came in and literally took over the city and destroyed the empire of Babylon. And the Medo-Persian Empire then took the authority and governance of the world, the known world at that time. They were one of the great empires. So we see here that he's calling a literal army to a geographical location. But now you're going to see in a few verses that he's also talking about something that would happen much later. Something referred to in Revelation chapter 17 and 18, among other places. Another Babylon with an even heavier burden. And so here's what he says. He says, they come from a far country, from the end of heaven, even the Lord and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land. Notice, the whole land. Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. Now the thought changes. Now it's not just a small area, relatively speaking. But watch what he goes into here. Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand, the day of the Lord. One day in particular, unlike any other. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt, and they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrow shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. When is all this to happen? Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. Now, isn't that interesting? You might say, oh, this is horrifying. This is terrible. A great day of destruction. But he's going to destroy the sinners out of it. You don't have to be a sinner. Sin doesn't have to be a way of life with you. Have you noticed that when the Lord comes into your life, that he changes you? He leads you on a path of righteousness. And when sin comes along, you rebuke it. Amen. And this is the way it's supposed to be. He's going to destroy the sinners out of the land. And by the way, there are a few, aren't there? I mean, this verse is actually good news. Incidentally, let me just toss this in here for a moment. If you came to have your ears tickled today, you're in the wrong place. Because I am going to tell you just what the Bible tells you is going to happen. And I think we need to know. So, he is bringing forth this declaration that there is wrath and fierce anger, that he is going to lay the land desolate, and incidentally, I think he's already started doing that. And he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. That hasn't happened yet. So you see how he starts with ancient Babylon, goes into the time of mystery Babylon, the end of the world, and then he will come back again to ancient Babylon. Why? Because the ancient land of Babylon is a sign that when things begin to happen there, that is the very end. Have things begun to happen there? Okay, let's read on and see how this all falls into place. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world. Not just the land, not just ancient Babylon, the world. For their evil. Do you know what we have today? We have a world that refuses to believe they're all that bad. You can talk to the most rank of sinners out there, the most wicked, vile people, marching in the pro-abortion rallies and gay rights rallies, and you talk to them, and they're wearing crosses around their neck, and you know, there's nothing wrong with what we're doing. We're okay. It's all love, 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 different expressions of love. You're okay, I'm okay. Yeah, you be happy, we'll be happy, we'll all coexist together. And let's not make any waves. And they think they're good people. Well, I've got news for you. God has a different standard of by which he measures things. He said, and I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. And what is iniquity? Iniquity is rebellion. Iniquity isn't a specific sin, but it is a condition that produces all kinds of sin. It's a rebellious heart. And I will cause, and by the way, we have a world full of people, especially in this country, with rebellious hearts. In fact, I'm going to go so far as to say, based on 23 years of study, a lot of prayer, studying the Bible, studying current events, this is the most wicked, vile nation that has ever existed on the face of the earth. Guilty of countless millions of deaths in the form of babies. We live in a nation that is drunken on pornography, on filth. It is a nation of majority of marriages end in divorce. It is a nation that is making the psychiatrists rich. It is a nation that is on the needle. It's a nation that's on over-the-counter drugs. It is a nation that is absolutely absorbed in itself, in self-righteousness, and yet offends God constantly. And now they're starting that Democratic National Convention tomorrow. It had to start on Monday. It's the day of the moon. Hillary Clinton would see to that. You know, that's that feminine power. She's the one who wants to be the president. She's the one who recently stated at a fundraiser, a Democratic fundraiser, She said that, now she's planning to become the president someday, she said. And she said, and we are going to take things away from you for the common good. Now think about that. We are going, who are we? Did you ever hear Bill Clinton when he was president? He was always referring to the ordinary American. Is that to imply there are extraordinary Americans? That there's more than one class? That you and I are ordinary, and we have to support their illuministic machine so they can put together their one world government so that they can enthrone their god, Lucifer. But you see, we are the ones that are just the ordinary common herd. That's the way they think. That's their philosophy. They go to bed thinking about that at night. They get up thinking about that. That it is incumbent upon them who have the superior power to manage the entire world and to micromanage your life and mine. That's the way they think. But I have news for them. I'm already being managed. In fact, I am under new management. Because I was managed before, but the Lord has taken over now, and He has completely changed things, and I am under new management. I once used that analogy of this old gas station I saw where it was all run down, junk all over the place, old tires sitting out in front. What a greasy, dirty, filthy-looking place. And I thought, who would stop there to buy gas? That's just ugly-looking. And after a while of seeing that, I think it was a number of years, in fact, one day I drove past there, and it was all cleaned up, new sign, washed up, brand new, all remodeled and everything. And there was a big sign out in front, under new management. Isn't that what the Lord does for us? Comes in, takes this old wreck of a life we've got, cleans us up, puts a new message in our heart, lifts us up into His presence, and there might as well be a sign out there under new management. But actually, it can be read by what we do, by what we say. The world will know and take knowledge that we have been with Jesus. Amen. But God said that He would punish the world for their evil. You know, I started to tell you about the Democratic National Convention. Of course, it will start tomorrow, unless there is no tomorrow. We're taking it day by day, one step at a time. One day is going to be the last. But anyway, they're having it over there in Boston. Already the protest groups are complaining because they say in order for you to protest, we have to put you in a cage. They built this big mammoth cage. They all have to go in there to protest. They're all herded into this area. And of course, they've got jet fighters flying over. They got all kind of a political convention. It wasn't like that in the days of Lincoln, was it? But they got all this protection, all this security. And notice they picked Boston for it. Boston. Boston because of where it's geographically located. For one thing, Boston is the home of the northern jurisdiction of Freemasonry, St. Andrew's Lodge. It's also just south of Salem, which is one of the most powerful and is sacred land for the witches, one of the most powerful occult areas in the entire world, certainly on the East Coast. The Republican National Convention will take place in New York City, which is also one of the most powerful occult centers in the United States. But the Democrats have chosen Boston. And of course, not far from there is Salem, with all of its witches. In fact, they have a state-designated, chartered witch, Lori Cabot, who teaches witchcraft at Salem University, who practices witchcraft, has taught thousands of others to practice it. And this convention, in fact, at Halloween time, did you know that there are over 50,000 witches that go to Salem? And a lot of them come from Boston, and they have what they call the witch train, which goes from Boston, goes up through Swampscott and Peabody and that whole area, and brings in loads of witches to Salem so they can practice their witchcraft there at Halloween, which is one of their big high Sabbaths. And of course, right at the very end of this convention, you have the Witches' Cross-Quarter Sabbath of Lunasa, which is their harvest festival, the harvesting of souls. They picked an interesting time to have this convention, didn't they? Interesting place, interesting time. And all of this is just very typical of everything they do, because we live in a Babylonian, spiritual Babylonian system. So God said, I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy. Oh, there's none of that, is there? Arrogancy? Of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. Do you mean in the end time there would be people who are driven by haughtiness, arrogancy, and pride? What was the number one sin that God mentioned over there in Proverbs? These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. What was the first one? A proud look. What was the fall of Lucifer caused by? He was lifted up by his own beauty. Remember? Ezekiel chapter 28, Isaiah chapter 14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down, which didst weaken the nation? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will exalt myself above the stars of God. There's a little arrogancy there. And pride is the very condemnation of the devil. Pride is the fall of Lucifer. So what is the number one sin then that he would generate that will keep all the other sins going? The same one that caused his fall. That arrogancy. That the elitist rulers of this world would rise up and feel that they have the right to manage you and your soul. That's the spirit of Satan. You know, there are a number of sins that are predominant in the last days that are actually mentioned. I'm going to just direct your attention, hold your page, but I'm going to direct your attention over to the book of Revelation momentarily, and we'll come back there later, the Lord willing. But first, let's just look over to Revelation chapter 9. And we're going down to verse 20. We're going to see what causes the dilemma of the last days. And what it is the refusal to repent. That people will not repent. In Revelation 9:20, it says, and the rest of the men, which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not. Now, what are those predominant sins that I mentioned? Repented not of the works of their hands, that they should worship devils. Is there any devil worship going on? In churches, too. You know, there's a rock group called Zoa. I don't know if you ever heard of them. And they, on July 13th, staged a presentation that they said was the funeral of God. And they were saying a mass for God's death. We have, a man from England sent me a magazine. Another man from Australia sent me another magazine of what's going on over there. And they have some of the most horrendous, evil, vile things. It'd be hard to show you what's in there. It's hard rock, heavy metal, thrash, trash type of stuff. But how God can put up with this for another minute is beyond me. I don't know. His mercy is beyond my comprehension. And yet I know he has a timetable. And that day will surely come when all will be accounted for. But the things that are in there, hell truly has been raised and is on the surface in this world. And I am shocked and amazed by what I see. Is it any wonder that this world is crumbling? Or hadn't you noticed that? Well, let me finish this verse, first of all. And it says, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils, and idols of gold, and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. And here's those sins it mentions specifically. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries. That's occultism, with the use of drugs. Nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Do you know that one of the most predominant sins today is fornication? Do you realize that we live in a society that for the most part doesn't even know what it is? That what they do is like a handshake used to be? That it's commonplace out there, it's everywhere. And yet people have the audacity, and churches open up to it. Have you noticed lately churches are open to everything? Everything. Whatever have you, they're just glad to see anybody come in. And so they bring in their homosexuality. They bring in their Freemasonry, their secret societies, their witchcraft, their Harry Potter. They bring in all kinds of divorce, remarriage concept. It's going on everywhere in this land, folks. The Bible says that ye shall die in a polluted land, except ye repent. In a polluted land. And so we go back now to Isaiah 13. But bear in mind those sins that were mentioned. God is specific. He'll tell you right out. All right? So he said he would cause that arrogancy of the proud to cease and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a man, now watch this verse, more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. Now of all the gold in the world, this was the most valuable, precious, pure gold there was. And he was saying, I will make a man more precious, meaning more rare. It comes from that same Hebrew word that means rare or scarce. How far do you have to look to find a real man of God? A real Christian man who will lead his family, take the authority, do what he's supposed to do, lead them in prayer, and be a real man. They're more rare than that fine gold. There's almost nobody left. Do you know how many men out there that want to get married are looking for a mama that'll take care of them? They don't want to lead anything. They want everything done for them. They don't just want their socks washed and things like that. They want everything done for them. No responsibility. Just go and work and come home and forget the whole thing. But we have a responsibility to lead our families in the ways of the Lord. That kind of a man is very hard to find anymore. It's like, that's what God said in those days. I will make a man more precious, more rare than fine gold. Therefore, I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place. That's got to be the end of the world. The earth has a place that it moves in, has an orbit. Moves around the sun in an eccentric orbit, but it stays. You have the four seasons because of the tilt, 23.5 degree tilt in the earth, and you have an orbit that is consistently out of round, but is consistent, round and around the sun, makes it around once, it's a year, and God has it so that you can't even accurately measure it. Did you know that? Oh, we have these atomic clocks and U.S. Naval Observatory and so forth, but try to put that, translate that into a calendar once of days, and it really doesn't work. I was reading a book on that one time. That's been the dilemma of the ages, to try to produce a calendar that's accurate. So many people tried it. Nobody's ever done it. We haven't done it yet because everything's imperfect, including our way of reckoning time. The Lord saw to it. Now, we do have clocks and calendars to kind of help us along, but they're not accurate. Most accurate thing you've got is a watch that stopped altogether, you know. Because that's right twice a day. But it isn't very practical, is it? So God said, therefore, I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger. And it shall be as the chased roe. In other words, it's going to be like a gazelle that's being hunted. You know how fast they can run. That the earth will literally move out of its place. Now, where are you and I going to be when that happens? You don't want to be a part of this world system. You want to be in the hands of the Lord. Because he promised to hold us in his hand and protect us. And as a sheep that no man taketh up. In other words, it's going to be like scattered sheep. Folks, when the Lord starts to really move upon this earth in judgment, everybody's going to run in every direction. They're going to scatter like rats jumping off a sinking ship. It's every direction. Can you imagine when the full realization hits, this is the judgment of God? Right now, our nation and the world is literally deteriorating, crumbling, waxing old like a garment. The United States is flooded. It's on fire. It's ripped apart by windstorms. The state of Alaska had a pall of smoke over it the size of Texas, 61 fires. When we were having this cool spring, when it was 60 degrees down here, it was 95, approaching 100 degrees in Fairbanks, Alaska. Because God was drying it out, preparing it for a fire. We have fires in Florida, we have fires in California, we have fires in Arizona. We have earthquakes all across the country, including one that was near Chicago not long ago. If you want to go overseas, we find that there has been flooding. And in July, 4 inches of snow on the ground in Germany. While in Greece, they're baking in tremendous heat. That'll be nice for that Olympics. On Friday the 13th, 13 days after the witch's Sabbath of Lunasa. Huh? They want to have that sacred torch. They'll get torched. They're absolutely roasting over there in the heat right now. And they're going to have NATO fighters flying over the Olympics. They're going to have a big observation blimp as a command center to watch out for terrorists. Anybody running scared? Meanwhile, Red China is sinking. You might say, now wait a minute. That big country with the Great Wall. Are you saying the whole country? Red China is sinking. That ought to be on the front page, huh? Why don't we hear about that on the CNN, the corrupt news network? Why don't they tell us about China sinking? All over the land in China, especially in Beijing, the ground has gone down 24 inches recently. 24 inches. There are fissures that have opened up over 2,600 feet wide, half a mile wide. Factories crumbling, business places falling in. Not just in one spot, but all over the country, because the water table has changed and the ground is literally falling beneath them. All over China, Red China. Just recently. I don't know, I got a news report on it, but it isn't broadcast out there, is it? I don't know if anybody's heard of that. But it's going down. See, Red China, it's kind of too bad. Red China is very much like the United States now. In fact, we have westernized them. Over there, they have, because of all the trade, because of Walmart and these seductive merchandising outfits, mega giant merchandisers, that are hawking all the wares of China, merchandising all the Chinese things. Because of that, they have become fabulously wealthy. They're driving luxury cars. Gasoline prices here have shot up because there's such a high demand for gasoline over there. But also they've opened nightclubs and gentlemen's clubs and all these crazy things going on that we gave them with our economy. And now their country is starting to crumble and fall apart. It's really something to look at when you see these different reports come through. Bangladesh, the entire nation has flooding, but one third of it is underwater. A third of an entire nation is submerged. Have we ever seen anything like this before? There have been 11 significant earthquakes in the past couple of months. You hear almost nothing about them. In some places, thousands of buildings collapsed. Why don't they put that on the news? Because the news is managed. And you see, Red China has a very great affinity with this country now because the United States of America is communistic. And so they get along with each other. They have trade agreements. Most favored trade status. Remember the Clinton administration awarded China that honor? Red China? I'll keep calling it red as long as I live, because it is. It's really something when you look at how they... When I was in school, back in the old days, the 60s, 50s and 60s, you know, I still remember some of my history lessons almost word for word. Back then I had a Velcro brain, but you know, all that fuzzy stuff's worn off now. So it doesn't stick. But it was a different world. And yet, we look at it now and people have lost touch with the ability to compare and compare and say, let's look at it now and look at how it was. How did it get from there to here? What happened? There is a strange spirit at work. Slowly, methodically, bringing forth a metamorphosis. Two things running at the same time, but one giving way to the other. They make lip service to the Constitution, and yet in the back of the bulletin, in the bulletin board there, you'll see that the FBI put out a little pamphlet regarding the Homeland Security thing and anti-terrorism measures, that anybody who tries to use the Constitution against the government or the UN is suspect and should be reported immediately. I want to tell you something. The United States Constitution is, of itself, against the United States government. Did you ever read it? Did you ever come to the part where it says, you know, it's got a list of all the things the government can't do? Did you ever read the Constitution? You can't do this, and you can't do that, and you can't do that, and you can't do that, and you can't do that. It's to restrict the government, to put chains on the government, and say, you better look out, because if you try pulling this stuff, you're going to be, you get your wings clipped. That's basically what the Constitution does. What I like about it is the very end of that article says, and if we forgot anything else, you can't do that either. And now they say if you use it, you're suspect. You're an enemy combatant under the new Gestapo, Geheimestaatspolizei. Do you realize how many parallels there are between Hitler's Germany, Third Reich, and what is going on now and being implemented and put in place? In New York, you used to see the police. I remember when I went there in 1995. Police officer, short-sleeve shirt, sidearm, you know. We were talking and so forth. Now you can't talk to them. And now they got the body armor, automatic weapon, in addition to the sidearm, riot helmet. They're ready for full combat. It's not the nation we once had. These people are not there to help little old ladies across the street. We are living in a time when the spirit of Babylon has risen up and is about to fully manifest itself. And that's what the Lord is describing here. And he said he would shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger. Praise the Lord. And it shall be as the chaste roe, and as a sheep that no man taketh up. They shall every man turn to his own people, and flee every one to his own land. Every one that is found shall be thrust through, and every one that is joined unto them shall fall by the sword. And now he's zeroing in on ancient Babylon, but at the same time, running the parallel with the latter-day Babylon. Their children also shall be dashed to pieces before their eyes. Their houses shall be spoiled and their wives ravished. Behold, aren't you glad you're not a sinner? Huh? Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them. See, now he's reverting back. Before he talked about the end of the world, obviously the stars not shining, the moon going out and all that. Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them which shall not regard silver, and as for gold, they shall not delight in it. Their bows also shall dash the young men to pieces, and they shall have no pity on the fruit of the womb. Their eye shall not spare children. And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms. Isn't that the United States by parallel here? The glory of kingdoms, breadbasket of the world, even the flag was called Old Glory. The beauty of the Chaldees' excellency shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah. We have Sodom and Gomorrah on parade. We have Sodom and Gomorrah and the constituents of it, the citizens of those cities, spiritually, given preferential treatment and priority status by our government. Democrat and Republican. They declare their sin as Sodom. They declare it. Don't they? Don't they get up and say, "We are in your face"? Do you ever see these lesbians get up and start? They practically preach, don't they? They preach lesbianism. We're feminists. I heard one say it one time. Saw the clip on it. We're feminists, we're fierce, and we're in your face. Hear me roar, huh? You know, I was talking about the Democratic National Convention over there in Boston. Another little thing about that area. If you go south and down to the Cape, Cape Cod, cross the Sangamon Bridge, go up toward Hyannis, Hyannisport, Wellfleet, and on all the way up, there's a little place called Provincetown. Provincetown is just about 100% homosexual. Sodomites. Just about 100%. And they go back and forth to Boston all the time. It is almost, Boston is a city of choice with these people. Heavy, that whole, I want to emphasize that point. Just north of there is a big naval installation at Marblehead. Just to the west of that is Salem. Just to the west of that is the hometown where my ancestors came from, Chesterfield, Massachusetts, with all of its witchcraft on my paternal side. Sorry to say. Thank God he saved me out of it. But that area is so vile. And I once wanted to go to Provincetown just because it was out on the end of the Cape and I wanted to see what it was like out there. When I found out what was out there, I changed my mind. And they have, as the old saying goes, you can take, there is ferry service from Provincetown to Boston. You can take the boat across. I kind of wanted to do that, but I thought, no. I don't think so. I don't want to have to go through a delousing station later. Well, I'm telling you, it's unbelievable. God sees it. If God looked at Sodom and Gomorrah and saw what was there and then reacted the way he did, and he said, "I am the Lord thy God, I change not," then we have a powder keg waiting to go off. Not only in Boston, but in New York and in San Francisco. And in San Diego, and every place, and in Denver, and all over this country and throughout this world, they have risen up by the thousands upon thousands, tens of even hundreds of thousands. As one said, it just goes to show you we're everywhere, all these parades. When you can have this world turn in one day, it's full 360 degrees, and have a gay pride parade going on in cities around the world so that the sun never sets on their display of queerdom, if you want to call it that, then you know, it's never been like that, then you know that the Lord will soon bring forth judgment as he did upon Sodom and Gomorrah and as he said in what we just read. He said he would punish as he did in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, verse 19. And he says, now here's what happened when Babylon was destroyed. It says, it shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there, neither shall the shepherds make their fold there. But wild beasts of the desert shall be there, and their houses shall be full of doleful creatures and owls. Did you ever hear of the Bohemian Grove out in California? And how they have this, supposedly burn this effigy on an altar in front of a big stone owl. And they go into this drumming and chanting and loud chanting. The reason for the loud chanting is to cover up the noise of the sacrifice. And then you have leaders such as, well, the Bush family. Reagan was there when he, now he's assumed room temperature. He knows better now. But all these others that would gather there and they would have these wild parties afterward and there was nakedness everywhere. One man who actually sneaked in there and filmed some of this saw Henry Kissinger and dancing with, Merv Griffin. Au naturel. If that is enough to make you lose your lunch, I don't know what would. Doleful creatures like Henry Kissinger. He's got a face like a barn owl. I don't know if you ever noticed it. But these evil spirits manifest through people. And he said that there would be doleful creatures and owls shall dwell there, and satyrs shall dance there, and the wild beasts of the island shall cry in their desolate houses, and dragons in their pleasant palaces. And her time is near to come, and her days shall not be prolonged. Now, that's what he said. That little segment was about ancient Babylon. But when he comes to destroy the second Babylon, Mystery Babylon the Great, Spiritual Babylon, when he comes to destroy that, that will never be inhabited again. Because we move into a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. But what is the great sign here, this burden of Babylon I've been talking about? What is the sign that we're at the end? Well, before I, and I'm going to do that right at the conclusion in a few minutes, but let's go back to Revelation for just a quick minute. And let's look at what God calls this, because what we're reading now in Revelation chapter 17 and 18, a couple of verses in each, is that at that time when this was given, literal, geographical Babylon was gone. There was the ruins, rather, of the Tower of Babel still there. It was a desert. Nobody lived there. Just like God said, nobody lived there. You would find owls and satyrs and other animals that lived there, but birds and so forth, doleful creatures. And they were probably the best inhabitants the place ever had. I'm getting more and more respect for wildlife. I'm like, why they call it wildlife? Human beings are much more wild than these animals are. The other day, Professor Muggsy Wisequacker, my parrot, looked at Jane and said, "I pray for you." Huh? This morning I got up and he said, I was listening from out in the hall, he said, "I'm a good parrot." And then he said, "They're all sleeping." Couldn't hear anybody up yet. That bird's got a brain. And he speaks in context. Kind of amazing, isn't it? I've talked to some people I can't carry on a conversation with. And my bird talks with me, I talk with my bird, I get along fine with him. As a matter of fact, when I think back, all the trouble I've ever had in my life have been from people, not from animals. It's always people that gave me the trouble. Well, amen. So anyway, you look at Revelation 17 with me, if you would. And we're going to go down to verse 5. And it's describing a woman arrayed in purple and scarlet color and so forth. And by the way, I believe that the Roman Catholic Church is part of Mystery Babylon, but it's not exclusively Mystery Babylon. It's much bigger than that. In fact, the Catholic Church is in trouble. A lot of trouble. And they have so few priests left that they can leave as priests that now they are outsourcing their prayers to India. The church is outsourcing prayers to India. People in India, they're having them do the praying because they have to do a certain number of rosaries and Hail Marys and all that kind of stuff every day. So they're outsourcing that to India. Why isn't that on the front page? You know, people read my newsletter and they say, wow, we don't see this anywhere. It's there. This is all mainstream. I don't get anything out of the National Enquirer or any of these rag sheets. It's all major news sources. It's just that it's mentioned a little bit, not in the papers, not on the radio, not on television, but it's there. You have to do some digging and look a little. Oh, you wouldn't believe how much work goes into that. Keep praying for me. I'm dragging by the time I get finished with it, but it's there, folks. And this woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, it says. You get down to verse 5, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. A mother has children, or she wouldn't be a mother. And of course, it goes on to describe this woman drunken with the blood of the saints and so forth. Then you go over to chapter 18, and it tells us in verse 1, and after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, says it twice because it's final. There were two of them, weren't there? The first Babylon was way back long ago, and at the time this was written, was already gone. So what is he talking about? A future Babylon, one that we live in right now. You might say, you mean I live in Babylon? What am I going to do? You're going to serve God. Daniel did. He lived in Babylon. He just didn't bow to their music. Or quit praying. He lived in Medo-Persia, which took over from Babylon and so forth. Then there was a continuity of empires right down until Jesus came, and there's never been a world empire since, never will be. They're just getting real close, that's all. Isn't that a great assurance? Daniel 2:44 tells us they're not going to make it. Oh, they're trying hard. They got their eye on you. Give them something to watch. Give them something to listen to. Up there, that Coca-Cola carton on the bulletin board there says, you can't hide. We'll find you. Because they got cans of Coke with a radio frequency ID in them. Here, you think you're buying an aluminum can of that battery acid remover or whatever. And people think, well, you know, isn't that cute? They can find us from space. 400 miles up, they know where I've got my can of Coke. They know what street I'm walking down. They got my latitude and longitude right to the precise minute and second. They can pinpoint me. There he is with my can of Coke, huh? Coca-Cola. And if they're doing it with that, what else are they doing it with? So it doesn't bother me. I'm not afraid of that. because the Lord is with me. They got to watch him too. They got to listen to what he tells me to say. Radio frequency ID to find you, to find your can of Coke so they can give you a prize. We were sitting down in the basement of the United Nations one time near the bookshop, and they've got this little place you can buy stuff. And LaVon was kind of surprised because she grabbed a bottle of water, and there was a little thing on the label, bottle of water, that telling that they could find her from up there. They're watching above New York City. And was the contest expired already or something? Yeah, but otherwise it was a thing. We'll find you and your bottle of water. Isn't that a comforting thought to know they can watch you that closely? Well, I wouldn't worry about it, because if the Lord's with us, then let him watch. You know, they had a dilemma with Paul, because who are they going to have guard him? Their experience was that the reason they had quaternions of guards, four quaternions and so forth at a time, is they had to change. Four quaternions means they had to change the guard every 15 minutes. Why? How would you like to be, as a guard, Roman soldier, have to be chained to the wrist of the Apostle Paul? And every time his hand went up to praise the Lord, yours went up too. The power of God came down, hit that guy. If they left anybody with him more than 15 minutes, he had him praying and repenting already. Let him watch. And the closer they watch, the more we'll give them to watch. And the closer they watch, the more we will say on behalf of the Lord. And God said he'll be with us, and he said we will do exploits. So I don't care about cans of Coke with radio frequency in it. You know, Walmart, that seducing harlot of a company that comes into places and puts anywhere from 20 to 100 other businesses out. And I'm giving you fact that for every job they offer or they give to somebody, 1.5 jobs are lost somewhere else. That mega giant has forced its top 100 suppliers to acclimate to the RFID by next year, 2005, which is the target year for the Illuminists to take absolute control, according to the display put up at the United Nations. See everything falling into place? But the Bible says that Babylon is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit. Every one of them is located there now. And a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. It goes on to describe the great fall, that in 1 hour something will happen to bring it down. Only an hour. And something in 1 hour will change everything. I can think back to September 11th, 2001, where in 1 hour a whole lot was changed. And we still are feeling the effect of it, aren't we? In fact, the effect is not wearing down, but it is growing. There's a crescendo of power, of dominance. All the negative things continues to flow from that one event. But I'm going to conclude by saying this. Babylon is a sign to us, meaning old natural Babylon. Stop and think about it. It was uninhabited in the time that Jesus was in Galilee. It was uninhabited for most of the history since it fell. And then gradually, quite recently, a few people started coming in. In the past several hundred years, very slowly, here and there, a few started coming in. And their number one item in their economy were dates. Some figs, mostly dates. Iraq was just a country that produced dates. So you could have date cookies and date bars and date cakes. And just plain dates. Do you ever study the history of Iraq? And then somebody invented the internal combustion engine. And of course, oil had been discovered at Titusville, Pennsylvania. Of course, later on, the combustion engine was, and that wasn't used, oil wasn't worth much, couldn't use it for much. Then the engine was invented, oil, fuel was needed. More and more people started getting horseless carriages, cars. Time went on, oil started becoming very valuable, black gold, Texas tea. In the 20s, in the 30s, everything was burgeoning, oil worth more and more and more. And of course, we come to today with all of these vehicles running all over the world. And Iraq came into its own, became wealthy, not from dates, but because it is the second largest oil reserve in the entire world. And if there was no oil in Iraq, would anybody be there right now? Would we put all that military power over there? It is a nation that has risen up from a date-producing, loosely-knit nation, if you could even call it that, to a mega power as far as oil is concerned, and now we have NATO troops coming in. We have troops from all over the world, 26 NATO nations, and Bush is trying to get them all in there. Everything converges on this ancient country, the Mesopotamian Valley. Mesopotamia means between the rivers. This cradle of civilization, it's a sign, folks, that it's the end. Because ancient Babylon and mystery Babylon converge together in this spot, the original site of the Garden of Eden, as a springboard into World War III and the coming of the Lord to intervene. Signs are everywhere. And thank God, we know that He will watch out for us. He will watch over us and give us victory. I don't know what's going to happen next. Every indicator points to another major terrorist attack, some kind of an event. And of course, I hope you know by now they stage these events. In 1995, we went into the World Trade Center in the basement where they had all the shops and everything. And we saw where just 2 years before an explosion had taken place. And where these towers connected, you had to walk past that area. I hadn't even met Diane yet at that time. But they had it all taped off with this yellow tape 2 years later. It was like a big cave in there. And I wondered to myself as I walked past there, just Shirley and I were walking past there, and I wondered, what's going on in that big black area under that tower? It's still taped off. 2 years later, taped off. Never made an attempt to even try to fix it. They left it like it was because it was a base of operation in the darkness to set up, to be able to work from down there, to set these bombs and put all these things in places, to bring those towers, not to be knocked over by an airplane, but to come straight downward into its own shoes. That's where the explosions went off. There are witnesses that heard people running out saying, "There are bombs in here!" And the entire bomb squad of Manhattan that went in there died. They were using that as a base of operation, I have no doubt. Do you know how much is done in secrecy? There is a secret order in Illuminism called the Order of the Rose. In fact, the Illuminati has for its password Eternal Flower Power, Ewige Blumenkraft in German. Eternal Flower Power. And they have an order of the rose taken from the Rose Croix, Rosicrucian, Secret Society. They're the ones at work that are pulling all this stuff. That's why when you look at the Murrah building, those pictures, I've got a picture of an FBI agent holding a rose in his left hand between his thumb and finger behind his back, which is a sign this is the Order of the Rose. I have a picture of Bill Clinton holding a rose in his between his left thumb and forefinger as he walked into the Oval Office. That's their salute, the left hand, the rose in the left hand. You go into a Catholic confessional booth where they have all these wooden, most of these real ornate ones, they have a big rose carved in the oak. Because rose means secrecy. In the old days, people would say, instead of, I've got a secret for you, they say, I have to tell you something under the rose. That was commonly used. See, we're a different generation. We don't remember those days. But that was common usage. Under the rose meant in secret. Have you ever wondered why the White House has a rose garden? And you see the president and Vladimir Putin, I call him Rasputin, walk out there and where do they talk? Why not be in secret? Out in the rose garden. Tony Blair, let's go out in the Rose Garden. You hear it on the news. They're out in the Rose Garden today. Secrets. Too many secrets. But thankfully, the day is coming when all those things that are done in secret shall be shouted from the rooftops. And we know now, God has given us the information. He has seen to it that in His Word, by which we measure all things, that we can look at all these events and apply the Word. I can see those gay pride parades and apply the Word and say, judgment's coming. I can see the marriages breaking up, the fornication, the whoredom, the pornography, the drugs, the filth, the smut. I can apply the Word and tell them fiery judgment is coming. But at the same time, I can tell you as a Christian, your Savior is coming to introduce you to a new heavens and a new earth that is so beautiful that this one will never even come to mind. And yes, the Bible is very graphic in its warnings, but it also tells us in no uncertain terms that He is going to give us a joy that we never could imagine in this life. And that is worth far more. When you stand there on that day and remember all the messages I ever preached, because the Lord will bring them back to you. When you stand there on that day, will you be able to present, to be able to stand there, not on your own merit, but will you be able to stand there being presented to the Lord Jesus Christ in judgment, covered with the blood, and have the righteousness of Jesus Christ resting in your very soul? It's going to mean everything then. This is preparation time. We're just getting ready now. And the bride hath made herself ready, it says. Amen. And so we must make ourselves ready as the children of God. Would you stand with me? Oh, God, help us to be in readiness. Amen. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we're so thankful, Lord, that we can look into Thy Word, be challenged by it, knowing that Thy coming is at hand. I pray now that Thou wouldst bless Thy people, watch over them, strengthen them, lift them up. Oh, Lord, help us all to reach out to Thee. And help us, O Lord, to receive Thy Word and Thy power that we might serve Thee and walk in the way everlasting. Let the evil one be put to flight. Let Thy promises be real to us, Lord. Help us to look at the book of Acts as if it happened only yesterday, for we still live in that time. O Lord, let Thy Word completely have the preeminence in our hearts. And let Thy name be exalted. Let the evil one have no power over us. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Praise the Lord. We'll sing a chorus this morning. I suppose we should sing We're Coming Out of Babylon, because it just kind of fits here, doesn't it? We're coming out of Babylon, we're coming. Oh, we better. Can we downshift? We started out in third gear there. Okay. We're coming out of Babylon. We're coming out of Babylon with the joy in our hearts and a song down in our souls. We've taken our harps down from the willow trees, for the Lord our God has set us free. And we shout, praise God for victory, and we magnify the Lord. We're coming out of Babylon. We're coming out of Babylon with a joy in our hearts and a song down in our souls. We've taken our harps down from the willow trees, for the Lord our God has set us free. And we shout, praise God for victory, and we magnify the Lord. Glory to God. We're going to have time of prayer. Amen. Amen. And afterward, we have the lunch downstairs and the processing of the newsletter. A lot of great things happening here. But let's just praise the Lord and go into prayer for a little while. Amen.